Okay, someone want to get the door?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We are here at United Orthodox Synagogues, and today is Wednesday, February 13th, and we have gathered for our weekly lunch and learn. What did I say, January? February 13th, and we have gathered for our weekly lunch and learn, and it is Parshat Tetzaveh this week. And we are going to be focusing on a verse in chapter 28 of the book of Shemot, Pasuk Lamed Hey, that's 28:35. And you could find the Pasuk on page 472. Okay, so to give us some context of what is going on here, we are in the section dealing with, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, the special clothing of the high priest, the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol. We'll have to see specifically. And we are going to focus on one particular aspect of it. Actually, we're going to start with verse 31 on the previous page, 470. Okay, so here we're talking about the me'il, which is like a robe. Okay, and this robe went over like the me'il went over, it was like a, went over the, it was part of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen's clothing. And we'll read as follows. V'yasita et me'il ha'efod kelil techelet. So this robe of the ephod is like a shoulder garment that wrapped around the body, but below that was the me'il. So v'yasita et ha'me'il ha'efod kelil techelet, you shall make the robe of the ephod entirely of turquoise wool. V'ya pi rosho b'tocho safa yiyeh l'fiv saviv ma'asei orei kefi tachra yiyeh lo lo yikareya. Its head opening shall be folded over within. Its opening shall have a border all around of weaver's work. It shall be for it like the opening of a coat of mail. It may not be torn. V'yasita al shulav rimone techelet v'argaman v'tolat shani al shulav saviv. You shall make on its hem pomegranates of turquoise, purple, and scarlet wool, on its hem all around. Upa'amone zahav b'tocham saviv, and gold bells between them all. So if you look on the bottom of page 472, there is a sort of a image of how the bottom of the garment looked. You had these pomegranate figures, and in between each pomegranate figure was also a bell. Okay? Then the Torah continues, Pa'amon zahav rimon, pa'amon zahav rimon, al shulei ha'me'il saviv. And it was a gold bell and a pomegranate, a gold bell and a pomegranate, switching off on the hem of the robe all around. And now we get to the pasuk that we are going to focus on. We know that on the bottom of this robe were these bells. V'haya al aharon l'sharet. It must be on Aaron in order to minister. It, we're still talking about the robe, about this me'il, which has the bells and the pomegranates on the bottom. It must be on Aaron when he ministers, in order to minister. V'nishma kolo bivo'o el HaKodesh. Its sound shall be heard when he enters the sanctuary, lifnei Hashem, before God, uvetzeito, and when he leaves, v'lo yamut. So that, now we translate it as so that he not die, but it's not entirely clear that this is the only Hebrew, it's not entirely clear that this is the only translation. The lo yamut means, and that shall not die. It doesn't specifically tell us who the subject is. Now, it's certainly reasonable to assume that the subject of the lo yamut is the subject is related to the subject in the rest of the verse, and the rest of the verse the subject is Aaron, is Aaron. So it certainly makes sense that it means that Aaron should not die, but as we will see, it is not the only way to understand what's going on here. So what I'd like to do today is I'd like to spend some time trying to answer a few questions. The first question is Velo Yamut. Who may have potentially died in this case? Well, that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk is just talking about that Aaron has to wear a garment with bells on it, and he always has to be wearing this garment when he does the work. Velo Yamut. We're not talking about anyone going into the sanctuary except for Aaron. So the question is, who might have potentially died? That's the first question. The second question is, why? Right? What do these bells have to do with people dying? Right? Why would the absence of the bells, or the absence of the bells during the service, lead to someone's death? And then, what action serves to avert the death? I mean, it seems like these bells help avert the death of we don't know who and we don't know why. And so the third question is, what purpose do these bells serve in order that they would avert the death of whoever's going to die for whatever reason? Those are the three questions. Who's going to die? Why? And how does the bell fix that? There are actually a number of different approaches to this. We'll start with Rashi. Let's ask first, right? What's going on here? Why? Who's going to die? Why would the absence of the bells lead to someone's death? And what do the bell? And how do the bells help prevent the death?
I think a person that is not Baal Samchut, like a Kohen, that enters Kodesh HaKodeshim, that is not certified, kind of, will die, right?
It's yes.
Only for
okay.
The door to go.
Okay.
So not everybody can go. So that's.
So how? What do the bells have to do with that?
The bells is the alert, like to
what? Alert?
Alert.
Alerting who? You're on to something, Chana. Baruch Shekivant. Alerting who? He's wearing it. He knows he's coming.
So it's alerted that he's alive.
So who's he alerting? God, does God need to be told that Aaron's coming?
No.
Okay, Zach, you're all on to something. Excellent, Zach.
In such a solemn moment, it happens when you get into a Kodesh machine, it's a concentration of Aaron's mind must be there.
Okay.
Human design in such a way, it was shown through many psychological tests that we have wandering mind.
Yeah.
And to avoid wandering mind in this moment, he must have this bell.
Okay, good.
All three questions are connected in one.
So this is all about Aaron. It's all about to focus Aaron
right,
on his avodah.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent. I think that's gonna be approach number three. If I had them in correct order. Excellent. Dove.
We know that in the presence of God, you're going to die. We're told that in Arjuna and a couple other places.
Okay.
So he goes in there. And these bells, I do one part of the signal that whatever is happening, okay, if Aaron doesn't get out of there, he's going to die.
But he's allowed to be in there.
Yeah, but maybe after he does the avodah.
It so reminds him not to linger.
And yeah.
Only to
words,
be in there and
the
to
other
get
thing,
out.
Or so somebody go pull him out. The trouble is, how are you going to pull
you
him out?
You can't, right.
If
okay,
you're not,
good.
You can't go in
all
there.
All right, excellent. All right, excellent. All this was
tie something to him, maybe? I don't know.
He's suggesting that's to remind Aaron to leave when he's done. You're not supposed to stay lifnei Hashem, or it's unclear exactly where.
It's unclear
exactly where this is happening. Maybe the Kodesh HaKadoshim, maybe not. But assuming it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, once you're done, you should leave. And so the bell sort of it's an extension of what Zach is saying. On the way in, the bells remind Aaron to focus, and when he's done, it reminds him that it's time to leave. Okay, Yacholiyo, excellent.
I have a comparison that it's maybe not kosher, so-called, but even in the church, the high, the Pope, or even when they announce the new Pope, they ring the bells. Even in the church, when they walk, they...
A lot of pomp and circumstance.
A lot of...
Well, where do you think they got it from?
From us?
Yeah. Okay. Great. Good. So, let's look. Good. Let's look at Rashi first. Okay? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says here on Pasuk Lamed Hey, which is the Rashi can be found on page. On page 400, on page 472, the right column of Rashi, it's four lines down. Rashi is this, that middle section. On the right side, Lamed Hey, Velo Yamut, right in the middle of the line. So Rashi says Velo Yamut is not to the phrase regarding the bells, which immediately precedes it, but rather to the words at the beginning of the verse, V'haya al ha'aron l'sharet. Meaning, it's not, let's read the pasuk, Michlal lav atasha me'ahein, im yihyu lo, lo yitchayev mita, ha im yikanes michusar echad min habigadim halalu, chayav mita bidei shamayim. Rashi rearranges the psukim, rearranges this verse. When it says, V'haya al ha'aron l'sharet v'lo yamut. This is how you should read the pasuk. V'haya al ha'aron l'sharet v'lo yamut. All of the garments that we've been talking about up till this time, those need to be on Aaron so that he doesn't die. Meaning, Rashi is setting aside the bells for a second. It's not just the bells need to be on Aaron. And if he doesn't have the bells, he will die. All of the special vestments, all of the special garments that we have just read about up until now, and the ones that we're going to read about, Aaron has to have them on when he is doing the avodah. If he does the avodah without any of the garments, he will die. Okay?
Well, you have to have some outside things. He's the Kohen, and that's his job. He's the only one that's allowed to go there.
Right.
Why do we need all those little items?
Okay, that's a separate question. That's a good question, not for us today. But here, Rashi is telling us that there is a requirement for the Kohen Gadol to wear all of the garments commanded throughout this entire chapter, not only the robe. And therefore, he puts almost v'nishma kolo bivo'o el ha-kodesh apnei Hashem in parentheses. And you will hear the sound of the bells when you go in before God. That's parentheses. That's a separate issue. It's true. The bells make a sound. But it's not the absence of the bells that cause the death of Aaron. It's the absence of any of the garments that cause the death of Aaron. In fact, if we look at a parallel verse, if we look at verse 43, just one more page, verse 43, the top of page 474, there's a parallel pasuk. V'hayu al ha'aron v'al banav bivoam el ohel moed, o begishtam el ha'mizbeach l'sharet bakodesh, v'lo yis'u avon v'metu. All of these clothing must be on Aaron and his children when they serve, so that they should not bear a sin and die. So it's a parallel pasuk. And so now we can answer our questions. Who might die in this case? The Kohen, right? The one who is doing any of the avoda without any of the garments. Why is the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, the one that's mentioned here? One pasuk is talking about, the pasuk that we read is talking about the Kohen Gadol, and we need another pasuk at the end to talk about the regular Kohen. Because they have two different jobs, two different rules, And so we have one pasuk for each of them. And what was, so therefore, what's the function of the bell? Right? How does the bell serve here? So the bells are, again, not the only thing that needs to be on the Kohen's garments when he does the Avodah. Everything needs to be on the Kohen's garments when he does the Avodah. And in this case, there's a Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah that says that the bells serve as a a permission to grant, a permission to enter type of, instead of having a knocker on the entry to the Kodesh Kadashim, the Kohen Gadol had bells, and those sort of, it's not appropriate to enter, if you will, into God's place without sort of announcing yourself or without asking for permission to enter, and that is what the bells do. So this first approach sort of numbs the question. The bells are not the key. The bells are just like every other garment. Every other garment needs to be on Aaron when he does it. The bells need to be on Aaron when he does it. And Rashi has to put this phrase about the bells in parentheses.
And the Kohanim dress like this as long as the temple's still. Is that right?
Yeah, in the Mishkan.
In the Mishkan.
And the temple.
In the temple. Okay.
Now, the problem with saying that this, by the way, is in the Kodesh Kadashim, the Holy of Holies, is because these were not the garments worn in the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, the Kohen only wore a white thing. Right? So that complicates matters. We're not going to get into it so much.
Bells, right?
But no.
No bells?
No. Okay. Now, let's look at the second approach. The second approach is that of a number of Rishonim, mainly the Rashbam, who's a medieval commentary. And the Rashbam says, you guys were almost onto this. You were this close to getting to what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says that since we're not talking about the Kodesh Kadashim, right? We're not talking about the Holy of Holies. So therefore, other Kohanim could theoretically have been where Aaron is going at this point. And so the Rashbam says, Shepa'amone zahav nokshin umakin zelazeh. Bells, they knock once against another. And v'lefi shetziva hakadosh baruch hu v'kol adam lo yihye ba'ohel moed b'vo l'chaper ba'kodesh. And since there's a pasuk in Vayikra that says when Aaron goes in to do the avodah in the kodesh, no one is allowed to be in the vicinity. Lakach tziva hakadosh baruch hu v'nishma kolo b'vo'o v'yitrachaku hashom'im misham. What's the purpose of the bell? To announce to everyone else that the Kohen Gadol is coming and you're not allowed to be here. And if you are here when he does the avodah, you risk death. So once you hear those bells, you better get out. That's what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says that the bells are a warning sign to everyone else that it's time to evacuate the sanctuary. It's time. We haven't given. The other reason was it's proper nimus. It's proper manners not to come into God's place without being announced. But not that anyone else is going to die. The death has to do in that, according to that approach, with the absence of the other, of any garment. Here, the death is specifically related to the bells. So let's go back and read the pasuk now in 472. It's very nice. Vaya al haron l'sharet. The bells need to be on Aaron when he does the avoda. We're on page 472, verse 35. Vinishma kolo. And the sound of the bells will be heard. Bivo el akodesh. When he comes into the sanctuary to do the avoda before God. Uvet seito when he leaves. Vilo yamut. So that who won't die? The other Kohanim.
So why is it singular?
That's a good question. The Rashbam doesn't deal with that question. That's an excellent question. I will get to that in a second. Who might die? So the Rashbam says this, and again doesn't explain. Maybe he's looking about it as a group, as a group. But that's an excellent question. And so the only the Kohen Gadol is commanded here because he's the one who wears he's the one who's going to go in and do the avodah, which requires that the other people leave the avodah. Again, here the problem is that this can't really be talking about the Kodesh HaKadashim, where other people are not allowed to be when Aaron HaKohen, when the Kohen Gadol does the avodah, because we note, as we noted before, the Kohen Gadol only wears the white garments, which do not have bells in the Kodesh HaKadashim. So the question is on what's going on here. So some suggest, I'll give you the answer of the Ibn Ezra. He says that even when entering the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Kohen was not only wearing the all-white clothing, but he was wearing the special clothing that we're talking about, including the bells, plus the white robe. Okay, in which case, he has the bells on even when he's going in to the Kodesh HaKadashim. Okay, so that's approach number two. Approach number two is this pasuk is about the bells. Remember, Rashi said the pasuk isn't really about the bells. The bells have to be put in parentheses. The pasuk is telling us that if you're absent any of the garments, you're a goner when you do the avoda. The Rashbam says, no, it is talking about the bells. And we're not talking about our own dying, though. We're talking about other people dying who are going to be where they're not supposed to be when the Kohen Gadol comes to do the avodah. Questions raised by this are where exactly this is taking place and why is it only in the singular, but I think there are ways to address those questions as well. Okay. That is approach number two that we've seen in this to answer this question. Now we have approach number three. Approach number three is that the ringing of the bells were sort of to make sure that the Kohen Gadol approached the service in the Beit HaMikdash with the proper respect. This is what Zach was saying before, right? That they have to come in with the proper frame of mind, purity of thought, and they sort of protected him from having, you know, wandering, non-focused thoughts during the avodah. And there are a number of people who say this. So according to one, in this general theme, according to one approach, the bells were sort of a way of the Kohen Gadol, like we said before, asking permission to come into, you can't just barge in into the sanctuary, especially if it's the Kodesh Kadashim, which it might be now, at least according to the Ibn Ezra. You can't just barge in. You have to ask permission. It puts the Kohen Gadol into the right frame of mind. Others suggest that the bells alerted the, how everyone understand this, alerted the, it's okay, alerted the malachim, the ministering angels, who normally were in the tabernacle, that the Kohen Gadol was there, right? So there was a warning that needed to come to the malachim, the ministering angels, the malachei asharet, that the Kohen Gadol was coming and that they should not stay there because they have to leave and their departure would ensure that they did not harm any the incoming Kohen. However you want to understand that. The Ralbag, I'll read you the Ralbag, he has a different explanation. His explanation is as follows. V'zeh hayasiba al sheyishama kol aharon b'vo al hakodesh. This is how you should understand the reason for the Kohen, for the bells when he was coming in. V'ya'iruhu l'hitbonen b'ma shehaya b'kodesh. It would sort of awaken the Kohen Gadol about what is happening in that room, uvamesh shehaya alav mehabigadim leize tachlitaya, and he would look at his garments and hear the bells, and say, and understand what I'm doing here. Ki bazet tishlam hakavanah elokit haritzuya be'elu hadivarim. This would help him sort of complete and have the proper divine thoughts when he was going to do the avoda. V'lezot hasiba b'eina lo haya efshar shikanesh sham hakohen im haya shetuya yayin. This also explains why the kohen is not allowed to do the avodah if he had any alcohol, which is based on another pasuk in Vayikra. Ki hayayin yimanehu mehit bonein ba'elu hadivrim kira'ur. The presence of wine would also, his intoxication, would also stop him, prevent him from being able to properly concentrate on the avoda. So I think that like during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, when the third Beit HaMikdash is built, we're going to have one bumper sticker that says, friends don't let friends drink and drive. No kidding. Another bumper that says, Kohanim don't let Kohanim drink and serve, or something, right? Something along those lines. Okay, yeah, Sonny, you had a question?
It's similar to the one
before. Now, the Abar Benel has a really, really interesting explanation as to why we have the bells, sort of along the lines. So the first two is sort of to protect the Kohen, one from the angels. The other is to remind the Kohen, as Zach said, about what his purpose is. And the Abar Benel tells us something else very interesting. The Abar Benel says as follows. V'efshar lomar, it's possible to say, Shehaya hashma'at kol hapa'amonim, kidei sheyed'u mibachutz ki hakohen chai. This is amazing, right? Especially on Yom Kippur, when you read about the Yom Kippur Avodah, where the Kohen goes in, and he's supposed to be doing the Avodah in order to grant the Jewish people forgiveness. If he drops dead, because for whatever reason, that's going to be a very depressing moment and scary moment for the Jewish people, right? So, hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. I'm not sure what's going on, why this is. I'm going to.
Well, we come from the line of
shepherds. Okay. So everyone has to know that he's alive. Ki ha-kohen chai. Ki ilu haya meit lo haya nishmaim. Of course, if the guy died, they wouldn't hear the bells anymore. V'nishma kolo. That's what the pasuk says. V'nishma kolo is, again, it's a good question. Who's going to hear the sound of the bells? So it could be that Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, is going to hear the sound of the bells and remember what he's doing. But it could also mean that the people, right, that the sound shall be heard by the people. V'lo yamut, k'mo sh'omrunu chazal, b'kahane b'kohane b'yat she'enish, im hayta emunah ra'a b'libam, hayu meitim b'achnasam l'mikdash. During the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, we had a problem with Kohanim who were not really suitable for the task. They would enter into the Mikdash and die. V'kasher lo hayu shomim p'siyotav, hayu yodim shuhu b'chetomet. And when the people didn't hear the steps of the Kohen Gadol, which they would have heard only because of the bells, they would have known that he died. V'lachein ne'mar v'nishma kolo, that's why it says, and the sound shall be heard. Bivo oel ha-kodesh, when he comes into the Kodesh. Uvetzeto, and when he leaves. V'lo yamut, so that he not die. I think this is understood at so that we understand that he did not die. Okay?
If he dies, ain't there. How do they pull
him out? Yeah, I think he had a rope attached to him. And if he died, they had to pull him out, right? Like that. So,
that would not be part of the uniform.
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Right? So now we have to go back and answer the psukim. In this case,
so Nishma Kolo means the voice of the bell?
Well, it depends. Because it depends how you read the pasuk.
Sounds to me like means
the call. No, the sound of the bell. Not the sounds. It's one sound. The sound of the bell.
But it says kolo, not kolam.
Again, it's one garment. It's the whole thing. I think that's the best you can do. Yeah, that's the best. Or no, it could be the sound of the Kohen Gadol.
Right.
Which is the sound of the bell.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Right? There's no other way to hear the Kohen Gadol other than the bell.
Okay,
yeah, you're right. We have some of those issues to deal with. But I think if we look at it as the sound of the bell,
you would not
it makes sense. Wouldn't hear his footsteps.
No, but you wouldn't hear him praying. You wouldn't hear him.
I guess not. There's not so much he says. It's more of a silent, a silent avoda.
And yeah. Also walks around. I think this approach to listen to bell would not work physically because attenuation of walls, especially if you understand material they made from, would not.
You don't think it would work?
No.
It would be too thick.
Bells are very small.
These were small bells. Yeah.
Sound is extremely...
So you're not buying the Abarbanel here?
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that why they put Rimonim on the Torah? Sort of like to
yes, of course. Yeah, that's right. That right. Shula makes a good point. That's why this is where the custom of having these little bells on the Torah crowns come from. So people know the Torah's coming. Stop talking. Make way. Right? Maybe we should ring a bell every once in a while during davening. Although that's a problem. It is a halachic question.
It wouldn't work without
right. It is a halachic question with bells on Shabbos. But
know who you're talking about.
By the way, you should all know there used to be, see if anyone knows this. This is not for the Hebrew speakers in the room. Not for the native Hebrew speakers. So Shula and Chana, don't answer. There used to be a hotel in Yerushalayim that was named after the part of a bell. That hotel was?
I know.
I said no Hebrew speakers could answer.
I know.
The Inbal, which is no longer named the Inbal. The Inbal Hotel. The Inbal is the inside piece of
the... The clapper.
Is the inside of the clapper of the bell that goes back and forth. Which also now makes sense, if you think about it, because the Inbal Hotel was right next to Liberty Bell Park. So it was a theme... There's the whole thing. See what you learn when you come to a Chumash class?
There you go.
But no, the Inbal doesn't exist anymore in its current, in that name. It is different. What?
The Pamunim were so, on top of what we said here, the Pamunim were so important because I think about the Kohen Gadol going to this Kodoshim by himself, let's say on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Like a whole day by himself inside without the people around him. He has only walls.
Right.
Kind of,
interesting.
Crazy, I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
So something that keeping.
Oh, wow.
Keeping
that's a great insight.
Normal,
right. The sound's just sort of a little, it's like a background music.
Kind of.
Right.
You know, because to be by yourself.
In total silence. Right. Okay. So let me just address, that's a beautiful idea. Let me just address this question of when this pasuk applies to. So according to some Rishonim, the Kohen Gadol only entered into the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom HaKippurim. So this would create a difficulty because we said that the bells would be worn all the time and not just on Yom HaKippurim. So what is this talking about? It also, others suggest it's possible to explain that during the 40 years in the Midbar, Aaron had permission to enter the Kodesh HaKadashim on a regular basis, as long as he followed a certain rules. This is suggested by the Midrash. And only later was entry into the Kodesh HaGadashim restricted to Yom HaKippurim, and therefore some of this may change. These ideas are coming from a wonderful website called Al HaTorah, which we've used before, and they come up with these three approaches. So let's just review the three approaches. The question was, it seems that from the Pasuk, the bell needs to be there, and without the bells, someone's going to die. So then we said, why is that? Who's going to die, and what do the bells' purpose do they serve? So according to Rashi, we have to put the bells in parentheses. It's not the absence of the bells that lead to someone's death. It's the absence of any of the garments on the part of the Kohen Gadol when he does the Avoda that would lead to someone's death. According to the second approach, the bells were there in order to remind the other people who were in the vicinity to leave. So therefore, you needed the bells. It's specifically about the bells. And it's not we're worried that Aaron is going to die. It's we're worried that the other Kohanim who were in there, who had to leave, were going to die. The bell was an alarm that they should evacuate the area. And the third approach is that the bell sort of protects the Kohen Gadol, make sure he has the right frame of mind so that his mind doesn't wander and perhaps he would then the high priest himself was in danger, the Kohen Gadol was in danger of doing something wrong by not being in the right frame of mind, and the bells remind him of that. Or it could be notwithstanding Zach's objection on the grounds of construction, that the bells wouldn't have been heard by the people on the outside. But the Abarbanel says that's what it was for, to let the people on the outside know that the Kohen Gadol was still alive. And then number four, from a less known Torah scholar, but very precious, Chana, who says that the bells were to keep the Kohen Gadol sane, right? That he wouldn't go crazy by doing the avoda there in all that silence. It's a very, very beautiful point. So again, we come to this pasuk, we read it first. When I asked the question when we started, it was clear to everyone that it's talking about the Kohen Gadol and why. So now we know it's not so clear. We read the pasuk a little differently, a little more carefully, and we see a number of different approaches to understanding the purpose of the bell, who it's warning, who may die, and why it's singled out in this pasuk especially. We also have to remember, we have another pasuk reminding us that all the garments have to be there. So one pasuk could be just about the Kohen Gadol, and the other pasuk could be talking about all the other Kohen. Okay, yashar koach, everyone.
Yes.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We are here. Happy
Maybe he died.